Up for you a little bit. We're doing something a little bit different, as you'll see in a minute, in that we're gonna superimpose you into Mary's life, and I think you'll see where the connection is. But before that, next week the men are taking over the children's department, so be very afraid. Pray for us. We're kind of excited every year, once a year, when the ladies go on retreat, we take over, and no women are welcome to be involved. It's in love, of course. We know all of you aren't going, but there are some nursery workers that we've hired, so we don't have to do that. But other than that, we're taking over and we're excited. We kind of have pancakes and chocolate chip ones, which make the day very interesting. A little dollar size with multiple chocolate chips. But we're going to have some water stuff. We're going to add this year some. I've asked a couple of fishermen. I'm searching for them even now as we speak. But if we can get some fishermen out here with non-barbed hooks, actually we won't use hooks, but. And have a casting contest out here and teach the kids how to cast and on this side of the lawn. So we're going to have some new things, and we need some help. So if you want, there's sign-up sheets in the back if you want to be involved in that. And also, there's a yellow sheet, a little flyer thing, just by way of information. We've been watching, there's like 35, 40 of us men in the morning and evening that have been watching a series by Andy Stanley that is absolutely stunning. Called Free, and we're going to show it on Sunday nights and have a little barbecue in between sessions, and if that works for you and fits in, we're kind of doing it in 3 weeks, four sessions, so you can pick if you want to come and be involved and get a free dinner. If things are rugged in your life financially, we can feed you a few times, but we had a great time through Guardrails, so, and this one is off the hook, good, in terms of if you struggle with you really want to love God, but you do this. I mean, he gives the answers to that dilemma, why that happens in our life. And, you know, over the years, I've always talked to you about many, many times about if you have tension in your life or you're starting to rage or you're finding that things are haywire and you're coming apart, that say, Jesus is my Lord out loud to yourself. You don't have to tell anybody else, but I've said that probably 300 times. Because it's something I do. Well, he gave us a new little phrase that we can begin to use that is really life-altering and spectacular if you take it to the bank. So I'm not going to give it to you, but you can hear about it if you come and have hamburgers, hot dogs, and chicken with us. So enjoy that. Today's theme, a mom's experience, how your life relates to Mary in many ways. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet, what it does. And it's pretty a fascinating thing for second graders, putting magnets together and how they're polarized and all that good stuff and how they pick things up. And the next day in a written test, she included this question: my full name has six letters. The first one is M, and I pick things up. What am I? So it's pretty simple after they spent half the day using different sizes of magnets. And when the grades were all in, the teacher was astounded to find that almost 50% had written in mother, not magnet. So I picked things up, and I just thought how true that is. You continue to pick things up when the grandkids go home. So let's, it's never going to stop. Let's pray as we begin today. Father, thank you that we can be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just pray that you'd minister to each mother's heart in this room, each grandma's heart, in beautiful ways, that they would just feel loved and valued because we recognize who they are and what they do and how they function today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to just come at you with some things that are going to be reality, that is your experience as best we can. Number one, some of mom's story in life is that she is regularly surprised in life. I mean, it's one of the things that happens with motherhood from the beginning all the way through to grandmothering, if you have that privilege. Now, obviously, you aren't surprised in the same way that Mary was. I understand that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But big surprises do come. It's part of the package of being a mom. A blowout at the wrong time, and I'm not talking about a tire on the freeway, but with a baby. Coming home to a fort that dad helped build, that you look at and you go, cool. You know, I mean, it's just there and it's big. A police helicopter over your house, circling your house. And if you've never experienced that, God bless you. I have. Paint in places it shouldn't be. What do you do with that? It's not coming out. It's not coming off. It's just there. Emergency room visits, which most of us that have been parents have had. Whether it's a few stitches or a broken thing, of some sort or something even more major that's even harsher and more difficult to deal with. That phone call that we all know we can get, that there's been a wreck, but quickly somebody says, but nobody's hurt, and you're glad, but then you think, how much is this going to cost me, and you feel bad about it. You know, all that stuff that happens with parenting. Or the big one is when your son or daughter comes to you and says, Mom, I think he or she is the one, depending on whether it's a daughter or a son, but we do live in a different world, but they're the one. And the problem is you're thinking that he or she is absolutely not the one. You are so wrong. What do you do with that? You know, and it's just part of this mother thing. And you can be surprised in so many beautiful ways as well as difficult ways. Now, obviously, the mother of Jesus was surprised, and we're going to sort of highlight that. In Luke 1:28, the angel went to her and said, it's sort of a big deal right there. An angel went to her and said, this didn't happen all the time. I don't know. It's never happened to me, and I don't want it to. But came to her and said, greetings. Hey, how are you? Hello, Mary. Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Definitely good words. Now, remember, this is a young gal. We don't know whether she's 14 or 16 at the time. But she was a young lady. And times were different back then. I get that. Verse 29, the Bible says, Mary was greatly troubled. Why is the angel visiting me? Now we know the story, this side of the New Testament. She doesn't know the story. It's being written with her. Please understand that. But she's thinking, she was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So she is, what the heck is going on here? Why is an angel visiting me, little Mary? What's going on? What does this mean? What's going to happen? Why is this happening? She didn't think, oh, I got it. The Messiah is going to come into my womb, and I'm going to bear him as a virgin, and then I'm going to live my whole life watching this Jesus character that's really kind of my son. Do all these... None of that's in her brain. She's just concerned. But the angel said to her, it must have been obvious on her face, that look of the eyes were big, and oh my gosh, what's going on? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. And you know, this is how it always is with God. If you choose to love Jesus and to embrace him, to invite him into your life by faith, and then begin to want to follow him, be led by him, be eager to have Jesus lead your life, if you become that kind of guy or gal, this is how you get to live. Even though stuff out of the ordinary happens, stuff in life comes at you, you don't have to fear. This is the message of God to those who love him. Now, it's terrifying what we may face, but we don't have to fear. We allow fear to dominate us at times, but we don't have to. We don't need any help or substance to live through the fear. We don't need liquid courage. Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. If you know him, if you've trusted him, you have found favor with God. You're safe for all eternity. And you can count on that, the Bible teaches. Talk about surprises in Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged. The idea of pledge is to be engaged, betrothed, as the New Testament says in the King James. Ready to be married. Plans are being made, all right? I don't know how big they were, but they were on the way. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together. Now, the Beatles sang a song, Come Together. Now, but I want to make sure everybody in the room, I know we're all adults, knows what come together means. It means become one. Maybe that doesn't communicate it. They had sex. Joseph and Mary had not had sex before they got married. It appears they were waiting to get married, to be physical together in a sexual way. And how refreshing that is. And how abnormal that is in the culture we live in. But a mom with little kids goes, oh, that's so cute. Honey, you can do this. No? Just speaking to moms. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So God made something happen in her womb, the Bible teaches. So a virgin is pregnant. She knew she was a virgin more than anybody else on the planet. She understood what she had done and not done in life. She's the only one in history, as best I know. And this is quite a surprise, huh? I mean, I'm trusting you're not going to have this surprise in your life. But they come, the truth is, in all shapes and sizes, and we know this by experience, they just do. And when it comes to parenting, the truth is, and I tell young people this, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, and it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. And those, both of those truths are just together. It's like two lanes, two rails for a railroad. They're both true, and they're true all day long. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do, and it's the greatest thing you'll ever do. And with that, let's watch this together. I know, pretty cute. Number two, for a good mom, the truth about a mom is her heart is a treasure chest. This is just the truth about her, how true it is. It's kind of like a magnet hunting for metal. It just is. A mom's heart is a sucker for emotional stuff in a different way than ours is. Doesn't mean we aren't emotional, most certainly, but there's something special about a mom. It's always available. It's always available and willing to be open for good memories, good stuff. It's ready and willing to be invested in. You know, over the years, I've talked a lot about my mom, and boy, I so wish you could know my mom. You'd love her. She died some 20 years ago or so. And I got to thinking about it today, and how often do I talk about my dad? He was a really good guy. He was big, tall, handsome. He was hilarious. He was a fun dad. He was enjoyable. He liked to build stuff. He was a roofer. He didn't have a big, amazing life, but he constantly tried to be an entrepreneur and failed. And I watched him. I lived through it. We lived in Catalina for 2 years. He bought a hotel, the Waikiki Hotel, and we moved over there. And every summer, I had some of the greatest memories of my life at the Waikiki Hotel that later burned down, not on his watch, but that's okay. He did his best, you know, and I loved my dad. But my mom had such enormous impact in my life, and part of that is how a mother's made up and what she does to a son or daughter potentially. It's phenomenal. In Luke 2, in terms of the birth of Christ, in terms of the birth of Christ, speaking to the shepherds here, an angel arrives, then a whole bunch of angels come in, and they're singing, "Glory to God in the highest." So we got some shepherds in a field with some cool harmonies going on. And he then, the angel, tells them there's a baby in a manger and you ought to go visit it. So pick it up in verse 16 in chapter 2. So they hurried off. In one part, mom's lives are always often hurried because they're going places. But I like the message here. Once the angel spoke to these shepherds, they didn't just say, okay, let's bed down and we'll leave in the morning. They hurried off. And when I saw this, I thought, how often have I in my life hurried off to go meet with Jesus, to want to participate with him, to want to hear about him? Or is it just something we kind of schedule in and we do? Is there a eagerness about us towards who Jesus is? I just kind of like that. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Just like they were told is what they found. And the message here is when God gives a message through his word, through angels that are his representatives, you can count on it. What they say is going to happen is going to happen. When the Bible makes a prediction, it will happen. It's not probably. It will happen. It's very encouraging to those of us who choose to believe it. Verse 17, when they had seen him, the baby, lying in a manger, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So they spread the word on, we were promised that this child would be found, and we went and we found him. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Kind of, you're kidding, right? You're in a field, you're working, some angels start singing, a bunch of them show up, and they tell you to go somewhere, and you go and find it. I mean, what were the conversations like? Excuse me, wait, time out. What were the angels like? I mean, how many angels have you seen? Other than, of course, your mom. But what were they like? I mean, all these conversations have to be going on. This isn't normal fare in life. Verse 19, my favorite verse in the Bible about Mary. My absolute favorite verse, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things. Now, to treasure is to store up. If you've got a safe at home and you've got valuables, you put only the valuables in there that you care about for one reason or another. Maybe because they could be stolen, chances are. But the idea is to store up precious things, speaking of something that has great value to her, to you. And in this case, Mary treasured up all these things. This is from the beginning. She already knew she was a virgin and something's going on that's way beyond her, that the angel came and visited her, that she had this baby boy, and she's just a mom. It came from the inside of her. You can't do anything but love and treasure that. And she's storing these up, all these things that were happening, that were said to her, that were experienced by her, that she had witnessed, with a whole life out ahead of her. Imagine the treasure trove of memories, along with some painful ones that were in Mary's heart. And it goes on to say, she not only treasured them in her heart. You want to know what a woman is? Here it is. And she pondered them in her heart. She meditated on them. The idea is they kept them in her thought. She kept remembering them. Thought about them is what it means, really. And this is what a mom does. Her heart is a treasure chest. And we, as children of a mom, fill that sucker if we choose to understand life. It goes on in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen. Having gone through a life-changing experience, they were different. And this is what ought to happen to us when we meet Jesus, when he begins to change our life, when we begin to call out, Lord, I want to love you. I want to be led by you. I want to follow you. It's a life-changing experience. Not in the same way the shepherds did, but in similar ways, which were just as they had been told. Whatever God says will happen. To just learn that in life is a beautiful thing. So viewing your mom in this way, as her heart is a treasure chest, allows you to live strategic. Okay, what does that mean to you? If my mom's heart is a treasure chest, how can I fill that sucker over and over and over again? How can I add to what's in there? How can I make it more sweet? How can I clean that place up in beautiful ways? It makes for opportunities to impact mom if this is true of a mom's heart. Just live wise. If someone's a mom, number three, she has many things on her mind. Again, this is just the truth of a mom. A mom's brain is always active. It just doesn't stop. It's why I believe personally often sleep is harder for a woman. I can basically, you give me 10 minutes in any situation and I can probably go to sleep. I mean, in the midst of noise. Saying she can multitask is probably an understatement, because that's what a mom has to do with her life. There are a lot of different, if you're a computer guy or gal, it's like for a mom, there's a lot of different programs open at the same time. Yeah, I want to just do one. Let's just do this and finish this. Guys, we function differently. It's not that you're not special too. We'll wait for Father's Day. Matthew 13:54 says this. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. You know, Jesus always amazed people. And when I see things like this and I read things like this, I wonder, are you amazed? Am I amazed by Jesus? This is how we ought to be constantly, continually amazed by Jesus. Who he was, what he did, and what we get from him. Amazed. Amazed. The Bible goes on. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. They just didn't get it. And the truth is, a lot of times people don't get it in terms of who Jesus is. He was God in the flesh, the Bible teaches. Nobody else ever did the stuff he did before him or since him. He is extraordinary because he was God in the flesh. People don't, they want to push back on Jesus, but he amazed people constantly. That's what God does. Verse 55. Isn't this the carpenter's son? So the people that were asking these questions, which were in truth fair questions, they're saying, wait. I know Joseph, and he's a dude, but he just builds stuff, man. He's pretty good at it, actually. But this is over the top. He wasn't that special. I mean, he didn't have a real big college education. And then they went on to say, isn't his mother's name Mary? Well, these are true statements. She was a great gal, a good cook, probably always kept that house warm, had a ton of kids, but pretty normal lady. They're saying nothing special about Mary. She's just one of them moms, just like you guys are moms in their minds. And then the Bible goes on and gives some description of Mary's real life. And it says, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? This woman was a bit prolific. And then it goes on in verse 56. Aren't all his sisters with us? They're all alive, and we know who they are. They doesn't name them. I don't know what Jesus' sisters' names were. But here they are. So here it is. Mary has a big life. Lots on her mind. She's got four boys and some daughters, plus Jesus. I mean, you think you got a big life. I mean, come on. I mean, she didn't have to text and all that stuff. But this is a big life. Lots of mouths to feed. Lots to think about. Let's remember that. And that's part and parcel of a real life. Where then, they asked, did this man get all these things? The miraculous powers, the amazing stuff, the wisdom that he had, even as a young boy. What's going on? The question is, how could he be connected to this normalcy? Why is this guy so special, so gifted, so extreme? And the message is just that he's God. He's more than just Mary's son. And one of the great challenges of motherhood, bringing it around to our subject, is there's so much on your mind. We can't stop that. You can't stop the computer. You know that. So many options, potential choices, opportunities available. Her mind just doesn't rest, if you want to understand a mom. It doesn't rest much. A good mom, a good grandmother, what they do is they care deeply. And this caring affects her life in real ways. She probably wishes sometimes she didn't care so much. Because caring is effort. It's emotional output. And if you want to understand a mom's experience, this is what it is. So, with that in mind, loving your mom involves understanding she has much on her mind. Maybe you don't have as much on your mind. She does, believe me. Maybe loving your mom involves reining in that demanding spirit a little bit. Not all the way, because we're all, let's live a real life. Let's be honest. Let's be authentic. And there are some demands in all of our lives. But rein those suckers in a little bit out of love and out of sensitivity. Watch out for that attitude, you owe me. It's in all of us. Watch out for that thing that demands rather than loves and invests. If we want to know the heart of a mom, she has many things on her mind. So did Mary. Number four, if you want to know what a mom does, she suffers when her kids suffer. This is just what she does. When her kid is hurt, no matter what age, by the way, she hurts. She feels the pain. And the truth is, it is exhausting as she experiences this. To suffer when others suffer, this is exactly what moms do. It's interesting, if there's a bully in your son or your daughter's life, you don't need to look out for the dad. I mean, the mom may finally get him to move into action. What you want to look out for is that mama. You know, we've talked about mother bears. I've never heard about a daddy bear. He's out fishing or snoozing or eating. We're doing something. But don't mess with mama. Do not mess with mom. But I want to say loud and clear, nobody in history faced this more than Mary. Nobody. Suffering. When your kid suffers, the human pain she faced is unimaginable. And we know that because of what the Bible says. John 19:25, it says, near the cross of Jesus. So picture this. We got a cross like that in the ground, standing up. Jesus is alive on the cross next to two fellows. We know the story. He's alive, nailed to the cross, bleeding out, suffering, dislocating his body, his shoulders. What happens is you dislocate. You kick up for a breath of air, and then you come back down. Then you begin to suffocate. Then you push back up on a nail through your two ankles, which causes excruciating pain just so you can breathe. Because the body has a natural desire to survive, but you can only take it so long. So we're near the cross of Jesus, and this is going on. Near it stood his mother. Mom is there. That's what moms do. They suffer when their kids suffer. His mother's sister, so Aunt so-and-so was there. We don't know her name. Probably Mary, one of Mary's best friends. Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. A lot of Marys in one place, by the way. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother there, the idea is he looked down at her, probably eyeball to eyeball. And he felt her pain, I'm sure. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, this would be John, the writer of this gospel, he said to her, "Woman, here's your son." So he's saying, he's basically handing off the torch. Okay, he's on the cross and he's saying, "John, you need to take care of my mom." Mom, Mary, you need to let John take care of you. The responsibility is handed off. The message here is a good mom has a high capacity to care. She didn't have to be there, but she's his mom. She'd stored all this stuff up. I mean, it's a full heart. I wish we had a little diary from her right now. When you hurt, be sure a good mom is hurting too. Now, this may sound a little morbid today, but I think it fits. We do this often and tell the truth. But one of the benefits of death is that you don't hurt anymore. It's really true. Not just physically, but emotionally as well. Now, it's better to live. It's good to live and have life and be able to be active. But one of the realities is that with death, that goes away. And God promises it. The emotional pain that goes out in life is hard at times. It's good to be alive. The Bible says in Revelation 21:4, it's not in your notes, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is God. This is his promise. This is what he will do. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And the tears of motherhood is difficult. It comes in many different ways. It just does. Part of motherhood is painful. It's part of the package. And part of it is because you care so deeply. Actually, a good mom in truth would rather be in the place of the one suffering. They don't want to suffer, by the way, any more than you do. But they would rather be, they would take your place if they could. Dad, probably. Mom, for sure. Sorry, take it out. One last thing for today. She stays involved no matter what. And she just does. A good mom, you can't shake. You just can't. I was going to say she's a little bit like a pit bull, but it didn't have a good picture. Mom locks on. She just does. She's just there. Good, bad, or ugly. Does not go away, a good mom. Mary had a life that was turned upside down, as we just talked about. She'd gone through a lot during the last few months of her life before we get to Acts chapter 1. Her son had been talked about negatively. Her son was imprisoned in Caiaphas, the high priest's house, and beaten in the dungeon there. A public trial where people had screamed out and chanted, "Crucify him, crucify him," the people, some of which Mary knew probably herself. Barabbas, a murderer, was freed instead of Jesus being freed, beaten within an inch of his life where he was unrecognizable, the Bible teaches, then crucified in front of her, then buried. Now, also in fairness, she witnessed his coming back to life and alive again, so hope was restored, and the truth is, belief now happened on a different level after the resurrection from before. So, but an interesting part of Mary's life, in Acts chapter 1, verse 13 there, correlating it with yours, you stay involved no matter what. When they, who is they, we'll find out in a minute, arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. This is after the resurrection, after Jesus had visited them many times, so they were aware. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. The 11 remaining disciples, Judas Iscariot, was now dead and no longer living. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women. And when he says with the women, he probably meant Mary, Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Clopas, as we looked at earlier. Mary and Martha, the sisters, were probably there. We don't know that the Bible says, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, this is the last mention of her in the Bible. She's not mentioned again. And interestingly, the Bible does not exalt her in any way except to say that blessed is the womb of Mary because it was going to hold the baby Jesus prior to his birth. Mary was just a mom. She was a special mom. Some parts of Christianity take her to another level, and why? Those of us that love the Bible have absolutely no idea. We're not mad about it, but it's just, why would you do that? The Bible doesn't do that. And with his brothers, remember them, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. So they were all together praying, what do you want us to do, Lord? What's the next step? What's coming? Before the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit visited them in a unique and special way and empowered them to take the message of the gospel throughout their world. But the truth is, Mary could have given up. I mean, that heart took in a lot the last few weeks. How much can a mom take, really? I mean, sometimes moms ask that question. She had other kids, some might think. Come on, you got other kids. You know, Jesus was special. He was the oldest. We get it. But you got, look at all the rest of the herd you got. Mary showed up with her kids by her side. This is what a good mom does. They show up. They stay involved no matter what. Enjoy this on Mother's Day.
You don't know?
No way.
Of course you don't know. I guess that's the point of all this.
I'm sorry, you lost me.
We monitor and collect every unnoticed service, sacrifice, or deed that moms do for their families. Oh, please. Melissa Richardson from Franklin, Ohio, just cleaned Sam and Charlie's room. Neither will notice.
But that just happened?
4 minutes ago.
Where did she get that information?
Well, I'm not really allowed to say, you know. Here and there.
Okay.
Sarah Pfeiffer from Long Beach, California just made her 100th lunch a row without a thank you, Mom. Ailey Cal from Jefferson, Texas just gave her daughter's forgotten chore the milking goat.
Yes.
And last but not least, Jennifer Wright cleaned the whole house, top to bottom, and her husband didn't notice. Ah, and we have video.
You have video?
Check it out. Oh, no, they do lots of good things. It's just moms do an exorbitant amount of unnoticed things.
So, how many people do what you do?
Well, this office has 3 shifts, 8 hours a shift, so 3 of us.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's it.
So you probably run into a lot of unnoticed acts.
And that's just this office. There are over 5,000 offices worldwide doing exactly what we do. You just keep coming in today. Treated and bandaged the skin knee. You see this one a lot. It's unbelievable.
I don't have a feeling my mom's in there.
What's your full name?
Akron Lanier Watts.
A-K-R-O-N? Well, looks like your mom's done a lot in there. Yeah, typical stuff. Doing lots of laundry, cooking, And your mom worked part-time.
She did.
Oh, looks like. Wow.
What?
Your mom also prayed for you.
She prayed for me.
A lot.
Yeah, I picked it.
Silly, but good. Good. You picked her, huh? Okay, what can we do to bring this to a close for mom? What can we do? I mean, you always want to ask this question when you're challenged in good ways. Number one, help build great treasures in her heart. If her heart is a treasure chest, and we've kind of established that it is from Mary, and we know it in reality, let's invest in it. Watch what you say and write. Especially write texts, emails. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Understand that she's ahead of you in life. Now, you may be really bright, college educated, and think that you know a lot when you're young. But you will one day, chances are, if life takes its normal course, understand what's going on in her life in a different way than you do right now. She knows she's far from perfect. Every mom does, that's honest. But her heart is still a treasure chest. It still is. Appreciate what you can to the best of your ability. Number two, be understanding. A lot may be going on. Her mind is filled with her life. It just is. Everybody's mind is filled with their life at every stage of life. But she may be facing things that you don't know about. Her life may not be a box of chocolates, and you may not understand it. A good mom doesn't expect a lot, just understanding. Number three and last, stay thankful for her involvement. Staying thankful is the key, I believe, to being content and to being satisfied in life. Because if you're not thankful, if you get that pinched face and stay in that condition and continue to complain, all of us complain on some level. But if you just stay complaining, your problem is thankfulness. And the only way you can stay thankful is if you focus your life on Jesus and who he is. Otherwise, all of our lives come apart. You've got heaven in the future if Jesus is your Savior. And no matter what you face, you can live through it well with him. But if you try to do it on your own, you just come apart. You unravel, and everybody around you knows it. And you lose your contentment, and you lose your satisfaction. It just goes away, and you gave it away. Because you didn't remain thankful. Stay thankful for her. She's not perfect. Maybe some of the things she did, she shouldn't have done. Overlook them. Love covers a multitude of sins. Staying thankful is the way to love God and your mom. Otherwise, you might get sideways with her. You might start blaming her. You might start resenting her. And maybe she shouldn't have done what she did. Maybe she should have been a better mom, but maybe she was the best mom she could be. Cut her some slack. Forgive her. Let her be loved by you. Staying thankful breaks the back of selfishness. Selfishness is in every one of us. And the way we break its back is by staying thankful and focusing on good things rather than bad things. We'll close with this.
When I was 5, I remember coming around the corner and seeing her in the kitchen. I had just spent the last hour putting on all of my dress-up clothes. I mean, to me, it was just a game. But to her, it was a New York fashion moment. She had taken picture after picture of me, and the whole time she was saying, "My beautiful baby." And when I was 10, my brother and I, we would get up and we'd come downstairs, get ready for school. My mom would always get up really early and make us lunch. And when she spotted the bus, she would start saying, "Here comes the bus, here comes the bus. Kisses to the mom, kisses to the mom." And we would dance our way all the way to the bus stop. We always had such a great time in the mornings. We just woke up smiling. When I turned 16, she gave me this locket that she got when she turned 16. And inside of it, there's a picture of her. And it says, "I love you." first woman president. I mean, for her to give me such a precious gift and trust me with that, I couldn't believe it. When I turned 19, she died. No more pictures, no more song and dance, no more special gifts of love. But I still honor her because she's a part of me. These hands, these cheeks, my laugh. So take it from a girl who can't tell her mother what a difference she's made in her life. Take advantage while you can, and thank your mothers for everything that they have done and they continue to do. And for all you moms who don't think that you're making a difference, you are. You continue to change the world with your special song and dance. And for that, I just say, thanks. And happy Mother's Day.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that for what our moms represent in our life in every way. And Lord, if we have our moms, just let us love them as much as we can. Not over love, but just fully love. And let us be wise in our love and strategic in any and every way we can. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for truth. Thank you for Jesus, how he helps us in every way in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great day.